such a privilege to have the amazing Eugenie Kruger on this episode of Raw Health Rebel Podcast. Eugenie has done so much for the homeopathic community with what she does with supporting mums in homeopathy and her absolutely amazing podcast, Homeopathy Hangouts, where I just don't know how she has time to do everything she does. And I speak to her in depth about her work. One thing I ended up doing as soon as I got off this podcast was go and buy the Nariani Removal of Entities Mix and Divine Protection. So that just gives you a little insight into where our chat went and just the depths of homeopathy. It really is never ending and why you always need to have an open mind. But listening, this was such a wonderful episode to record and I just loved chatting to Eugenie. Her energy is just fantastic. Let's kick off. We've got Eugenie on and I'm so excited to have you on because you're amazing. What you do, how you do it, I'm just like, there's so much I'd love to chat to you about because you are like an absolute inspiration with running your clinic and doing your podcast and everything and having a family. So it's amazing to have you on. Thank you.
Well, the feeling is very mutual because you were one of the earliest people that I had on my podcast and we're 150 episodes in now, but you were one of the first people I had on because I feel the same about you. So we can be part of the mutual admiration club.
Thank you. That's so sweet. I don't know how many episodes you've done now? 100 and...
Yes, we've just uploaded 140, but I've recorded about 160. So there's 20 that's actually pre-recorded. I'm actually taking about a 2-month break now, but the podcast will still keep going because we've pre-recorded so many.
And you only started this for people. So I'm going to put a link to the show note in the show notes to your podcast. When did you actually start your podcast?
August 2021. So it was about 15 months ago. So
I don't know how you've managed to record so many episodes.
I don't know how I managed to do that.
That is absolutely phenomenal. So I want to chat more about your podcast because it is amazing. But before we do that, I really want to hear about you, Eugenie, and how you got into homeopathy and your practice and what you do, because it's amazing. I want to hear all about that if you're happy to share.
Yeah, I'd love to. So with all the podcasts, I've got this husky voice thing going on and we were just wondering whether we should go ahead with the recording or not, but I was so excited to chat with you, I didn't want to postpone. So if I've got this husky voice thing going on at the moment, that's why. Yeah, how I discovered homeopathy, I was working in a health shop 2010 in New Zealand and I thought, hey, I should become a naturopath. I just thought it sounded like a nice job. I don't actually even really know how I got into it. And then one of our subjects is that we were forced, I always say forced, to do a homeopathy, introduction to homeopathy paper, because I did not want to do it. I tried to get out of it and I couldn't, but went along to this class. And after that hour, walked straight to the registrar's office and changed my pathway to become a homeopath instead. So that was that proverbial eureka moment. And for me, it was because my husband and I had been married for a couple of years and we knew we were going to start trying to have a family. And when I heard that homeopathy can be used in pregnancy and with newborns, I was sold, because working in the health shop, I knew that a lot of the supplements, a lot of the herbs you can't use when you're pregnant. So you're left high and dry if you feel sick or if you're unwell. And even with newborns, like a lot of herbs and things you can't actually use if they're under 2 years old. So homeopathy was just like this aha moment. And, the philosophy of it, I just fell in love with all of it. And it's just been, a very deep, hard, fulfilling, all-consuming love that I know that you resonate with and know all about as well. And it's just been ongoing. Luckily, I've got a husband that's, kind of entertained me this whole way and going, yep, you just keep going. So I'm just lucky that I've had him along as a cheerleader.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I relate to that and relate to the having a supportive husband. I think when I was like, I'm going off to study for 4 years, when we had like only just turned 1 year old, she's like, okay. But yeah, I relate. You don't find homeopathy, it finds you. And when it finds you. Yeah.
I know you had a pretty amazing story as well. I remember you sharing that on my podcast. It was a pretty spectacular story as well. And just that, because I think you were really skeptic when you beforehand. And then just, it's just beautiful, that switch. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I'm the fact you found it before you had a family, that's where I think it's so amazing, you know, if people can get homeopathy into their homes before they even have kids, how healthy and resilient those children are going to be.
That was pure luck. Honestly, pure luck. If I had not discovered homeopathy before I had kids, it would have been a completely different story. You know, I was always like naturally kind of steered away from medications, and I was always really healthy anyway. So I never had a huge history of medication and suppression and things like that. But I was always so fearful of birth. And I always said, I want to have all the drugs on the planet when I have a baby because I'm so scared of the pain. And between homeopathy and then also learning hypnobirthing, I managed to have two home births completely drug-free. So incredible. You know, my kids are 11 and 8. They've never needed pharmaceutical medication, no vaccination, no antibiotics, nothing. They're just so ridiculously healthy. It's incredible.
Oh, but that's
truly
amazing.
It's so lucky I found homeopathy before I had kids. And that's actually where I keep every day thinking, how can we catch people before they have children? I mean, most of the mums, they come to us, you know, when they're pregnant for morning sickness or when they've got little bubbies with fevers and they intuitively know they don't want to use Panadol and things like that. I think, do they call it Calpol over there?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they intuitively know they don't want to use that. And that's when they find homeopathy. But really, we need to catch them really young. And I was thinking the other day, like trying to brainstorm, how can we get in touch with girls at a young age, you know? Anyway. That's a story another day.
Well, just to pick up on that, actually, I ran a home ed workshop for 11 to 15 year olds. And I had a little group of girls. Now I'm home educating my daughter. And we sat around and I talked about what is health and suppression and disease and homeopathy. And they were making up remedies and they were loving it. So, and I just thought they really, really got it, the whole concept. And I thought that we need it in schools en masse. But yeah, that's a long way off, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that's like where Paola Brown's, you know, her homeschool program, her homeopathy homeschool program that she has. But yeah, we need to get these kiddies nice and young so they can, you know, just be in tune with their bodies from such a young age. Because, sorry, I'm going on a tangent here, but you know, you hear this in your clinic as well, I'm sure. So many young girls, you know, their periods start 12, 13, 14. It's painful. They go on the contraceptive pill straight away. And, you know, there's just that massive suppression for all these many years. And then they have fertility issues and all this, that sort of stuff. If we can just get these girls from such a young age to get onto homeopathy, you know, boys and girls, but it'll be so amazing. So that's incredible that you went to the school and you know, did the home ed. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I homeschooled my kiddies for 2 years too.
So. Oh, did you?
I did.
Did you survive? Like,
it was hard. I would never do it again. But my son is just really, he was a really busy kid. You know, if he was ever mainstream, he probably would have been labeled ADHD just because he's so busy. But I sometimes feel like, you know, putting so much pressure, especially on boys from such a young age. So when he went to school over here, that first year was a little bit play-based. And I think in the UK, your kiddies go to school really young as well, like, you know, three and a half or four. Yeah, four. Mm-hmm. Over here, it's, you know, pretty similar. And it was just too much for him. So I just took those 2 years, first 2 years, and just homeschooled him. It was wonderful. We did loads of outings out in nature. And then when he finally did go to school, it was just such a nicer experience and he was more ready for it. So I applaud you for doing that. It's great.
Oh, and you too. Amazing. So tell me about your clinic then that you run. You've got a busy practice as well as somehow managing to record all those podcast episodes, which in itself is like a full-time job, right? Doing that many.
Well, only another podcaster will know how much work it is. So I know that you actually do appreciate how much work it is. Hey, no, you wouldn't know unless you actually did it. Because it's not just the time taking the recording, like, you know, it's the editing afterwards, it's the uploading, it's the social media, it's everything else. But because it's been going for a while now, that's getting easier because I batch record like one or two Fridays a month and I start at 7 a.m. and I finish at 7 p.m. and it's just like, you know, every hour. And then we've got content for like quite a while. And now I have two virtual assistants and one does the editing, the other one does the social media.
Good.
So once you've got those systems in place, it becomes a bit easier. It's still super expensive because I haven't got enough advertising yet. So that's the next part I'm working on. But as for the clinic, it's, you know, a lot of us start homeopathy when we've got little ones. And so you don't always get to maybe have as busy a practice as you would have liked. So I just was always, you know, doing my clinic alongside having kiddies. And that's also the privilege of homeopathy, like being able to work your own hours. So that was really lovely. I used to do maybe sort of like 15 hours or so consulting a week at the first few years. And then when we moved to Perth 6 years ago, it was really tricky because I didn't know anyone here. I was starting from scratch and I didn't know where I could put the kids into daycare. It's quite expensive to do daycare. So I was looking after them at home and maybe only doing like maybe 5 hours of consulting a week. But I really wanted to kind of keep my hand on it to not lose that confidence. And at one stage, it did kind of dwindle down and I stopped it maybe for about 6 months or so, just when my daughter was really little. And you do lose your confidence a bit, hey, if you haven't done it for a while. It's really easy to do. Yeah. And that's where CHE was so great, Center for Homeopathy Education. So Hilary Dorian's online courses, you know, when I was really getting back into practice, I just did as many of those as I could. All the while, when my clinic wasn't that busy and when my daughter was still little, I was always really passionate about empowering mothers with the knowledge of how to use homeopathy themselves. So when I arrived here in Perth, I would do loads of free courses on homeopathy. I know you do several of them as well. That's just the best way, hey, to get in touch with people and empower them with this knowledge. So I would go to mums' homes, you know, it might only be five or six mums. I'll invite them over to my home. I'll hire out a little center and I might have maybe 20 mums. And then eventually I did like a little video online to show people how to use homeopathy. So I always kind of kept my hand in it. And there was this Facebook group here in Perth where I would spend ridiculous amounts of hours morning and night giving basically free advice to mums on how they can use homeopathy. So that really made the difference, I feel, because I put that consistent effort in every single day, helping people in need with how, you know, the kids have fevers and coughs and colds. I was always in the Facebook group giving advice on which remedies they could use. Amazing. So I think I built up a bit of a name for myself because of that. Mm-hmm. And so when the kiddies, after the 2 years of homeschooling, and I finally started my clinic here in the Perth Hills 3 years ago, at least people knew who I was. And so they felt a bit more comfortable to come and see me because they knew I'd given lots of advice. It was one of those things where I said to the universe, because I couldn't actually afford this clinic. And I said to the universe, I am going to put kind of like a ridiculously low offer in and say to this lady, I need to have this room full time, 5 days a week. This is all I can afford. And I said to the universe, if this is meant to be, she will say yes. So I did this lowball offer purely because I could not afford anymore. Mm-hmm. And she came back and she said yes.
Oh, I love that.
Eternally be grateful for her, to her for that. And I sometimes feel if you make those bold moves, the universe pretty much always rewards you. But, you know, you've just got to kind of trust is the leap of faith. And it was just so wonderful. And then it kind of just snowballed on from there. Within a year of it being in that clinic, I closed my books because I was so busy. So for me, busy is I'd say 25 clients a week. So I did, I know some, you know, homeopaths, especially the Indian homeopaths, see a lot more, but sort of 25 clients a week is, you know, I find about what I can handle. And so then after that, the last 2 years after that, I've only opened my books maybe three times or so to let new clients in. And it's been really nice because now when I do say I open my books, it's usually like 24 hours and we have, you know, a gazillion new bookings within this short space of time.
Amazing.
And I think where that comes down is like I said, just that consistency, you know, giving a lot. Like I love that saying, if you help enough people to get what they want, you'll get what you want. And so I've really come from a place of abundance, trying to give as much as I possibly can, probably giving too much, which I think most homeopaths have that problem because a lot of us are empaths. We want to save the world. So learning how to put in boundaries in place along the way. And then a year and a half ago, getting another homeopath on my team. So I just now refer out to her. And then 6 months after that, got another homeopath. And now we've got three homeopaths on the team. They're in various parts of Australia. And because I can't take on any more clients, you know, people just get referred through to them. And it's also nice because at the same time now we have this group of incredible women that meet on a regular basis and we can bounce ideas off each other and talk about difficult cases. And it just, you know, homeopathy can be a very lonely job where often a lot of us sit in our own home clinics all by ourselves, maybe not getting out to as many professional development in person courses as we can, or maybe feeling a little bit lonely. So this has been just a wonderful extension of that. And then our clinic itself has got a couple of massage therapists and there's a nutrigenomics practitioner as well. We used to have a chiropractor there as well, but it's lovely coming in. It's got this beautiful vibe, just a bunch of incredible women that all work together, and we produce our own remedy kits as well. So we've got a really busy room there making kits and dispatching orders. And it's just, and actually a year and a half ago, my husband joined me as well. So he left his job in IT and came on board too. So we get to, you know, have some lovely time together, and it's wonderful. It's like, I highly recommend anyone who's considering homeopathy as a profession. It's just such a wonderful profession. And now is the time to do it, because so many people have woken up after COVID and are looking for safer alternatives. And our clinics are busier than ever before. Every homeopath across the bank is saying that they cannot keep up with the demand. So it's a great career choice as well. That was a lot. I don't know how much of that made sense or is relevant, but I hope.
No, it all made sense. And there's so much that resonates and that I wanted to, like, so much out that I wanted to talk to you about. But first of all, like what you said about the collaborative approach, funnily enough, my last episode with Chan Badden, who's part of the Lloyd's International Group of Homeopaths for Autism, she was talking about working together and collaborating and how much more power there is in that. And how actually I said it's so lonely working on your own. And so that, you know, what you're doing, it's like living the dream. It really is. Like, that is just amazing what you're doing. And I think we need this sort of to be able to cross refer and to be able to work more efficiently together, you know, rather than reinventing the wheel all the time. I think that's amazing what you're doing.
Yeah, and we can get so stuck in our own heads sometimes. You know, so many homeopaths, including myself in the early days, would sit there like 5-6 hours with a case, even more, analyzing a case. When if you're actually just bouncing the ideas off another homeopath as a sounding board, you can do it so much quicker. And we all have different remedies that we resonate with. And some, you know, if you chat through a case with another homeopath, they'll make suggestions that you would just never have thought of. And it's just so much more efficient, but also it's just wonderful. And that's so cool about REN. I know in our, you know, the homeopathic practice building Facebook group, there's been
That's amazing
now.
Group. Yeah.
I'm really excited about what's happening, and more homeopaths are realizing we need to work together. We don't have to do this on our own. So I'm excited for the future in that regards and see where that goes.
Yeah, no, I am totally. This is what needs to happen to actually be able to reach like critical mass. There aren't enough homeopaths for what's needed. And just one other thing I wanted to ask you about, actually, which has come up a lot for me, the boundaries. You know, I am an empath and I really struggle. Like, if I'm completely honest, I really struggle with taking on other people's energy and feeling exhausted. And I'm just like, how people see, like the Indian homeopaths that tend to see 20-30 patients in one day, it's like I just don't know how they do it without feeling depleted. So yeah, do you have any advice or tips, or is it just something you resonate with?
I do. The homeopathic remedy Vernix is really good. Gives you that extra layer of protection. But I am an extrovert, so I actually get energized by people. So for me, it's usually not a problem. But also I feel it's like a muscle. The more people you get in the habit of seeing, the easier it becomes. And even with the prescribing, you know, like I used to take hours to do my first lot of cases. And then as I got busier, I couldn't actually do that anymore. I had to force myself to prescribe within that hour that I'm seeing the person. And so I don't know if there's a way other than kind of forcing yourself in the situation. That's what I do anyway. Like, I just kind of force myself into it and then I have to do it. And then the more you do it, the easier it does become. And there's kind of no real shortcut to it. You just kind of put in the work and then it becomes easier and easier and easier. So I don't know, that's probably not helpful at all, but homeopathic Vernix. And also the more people, you know, I definitely have that savior mentality, less so now, but there was definitely a time where I would take it so personally when a client wouldn't follow my prescription and then wouldn't get better, or they wouldn't come for their follow-ups. And I'm like, but I can help you. Why are you doing this? And then the more times that happened, the more, I guess, I did kind of numb myself a little bit to the point now where I've just realized everyone has their own health journey. It's not up to me. And I might be for their own journey at the start of their journey. I might have a little role to play and it's somebody else's role to help them finish that off. Or I might have a big part of their journey, or I might just be the person that they need to see to make them realize something about themselves, to go on a different path. But to actually have that bit of a boundary and go, it's not my job to save them. I am not their guru. And that becomes easier the more you do it. So I don't think there's a way around it, just doing it and putting in the reps and realizing that you just can't save everybody. That's their journey. That's their work that they have to do, and not taking it personally.
Very, very wise advice. Yeah, no, totally. Very wise. Yeah. Actually, what's something else I wanted to ask you about when you're talking about your practice, about the kits? Just, there's been in the US, I'm not sure if you've seen, the FDA are potentially trying to make it much harder for remedies to be sold. And what's the legislation out? How does it work where you are with kits and homeopathy remedies? And are you able to sell, like, how, you know, the sort of legislation surrounding
the lowdown.
It.
Yeah.
What's it like over in Oz?
We're actually very lucky. So lucky. We have very easy access to remedies, not so much in the shops, but we've got our homeopathic pharmacies. Like, in when I was living in New Zealand, it was really easy to access remedies. It was in all the shops, huge selection. Everybody knew what homeopathy was. But over here, and certainly I'm in the West Coast, and we're very isolated from over East. I think over East it might be quite a different story, but certainly over here, not many people know what homeopathy is. It's not easily accessible. We have one major supplier here in Western Australia, and that's in most of the shops. It tends to be just a 6C. So sometimes I don't find that as therapeutic, as quick acting. I mean, if it's the right remedy, it's always going to work, but I am a big fan of the 30Cs for acutes and things like that.
Me too.
So I would just go for a 30C personally over a 6C, but it does work for a lot of people. So it's pretty easily accessible. The only sort of issues that we've had is obviously the NHMRC report, which was talked about in the movie Just One Drop, mm-hmm. with Jerry Dendrinos, and HRI really did a lot of work to help with that. And there's been a big fight about that. It's been with the ombudsman. There's all these things that happened because of this falsified report that the NHMRC here in Australia produced. And you can listen to episode 2 of my podcast if you want to hear all of that, because I am not that au fait with all of the logistics. So unfortunately, we used to be able to claim homeopathy from our private health insurance, but as of the 1st of April, on April Fool's Day 2019, that got removed. So people cannot claim from their private healthcare for their homeopathic consultations anymore, which is just so heartbreaking because, you know, people have to pay out of pocket. So that's the only issue that we've had. But as to access of our remedies, it's been pretty good over here, touch wood.
Good. Yeah. And I think the other thing is, even if the worst happened and they got legislated or whatever, I just think, how can you actually, we can make our own remedies if it really comes
to
it. I know,
that's what I keep thinking too.
Like, I've got a remedy machine as well, but, you know, we can make them, and now it'll be time consuming, but there's always, like, you can't deny nature, and that's what homeopathy is. So I think they can try, but it can't succeed.
Well, I was really happy to see they found, like, they got like 55,000 signatures, and just, you know, it was just a matter of a few days for the, you know, the FDA thing that's happening in America at the moment, which is, I mean, 55,000 signatures in, you know, just a matter of days. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it raises more awareness in some ways. They might shoot themselves in the foot, because now it's implying it actually works rather than previously saying it's pseudoscience. So yeah, they can't have it both ways. So with your kits, what remedies do you put in? What are your sort of go-to, you know, for people to have at home? I think everyone's got their slightly different, you know, preferences. What are yours?
Oh, absolutely. I am really proud of our kits. So for me, I'll tell you a little bit about kind of like the manufacturing side of it, and then I'll go into like the remedies that we have in it. So an issue that I've always had with the way that we give homeopathic remedies to our clients, a lot of people give their remedies in bags, little plastic bags or little brown paper bags. No judgment on anyone that uses that. But I just always try to look at it from the point of the client. If I went to go see a person that just asked me all these weird personal questions and then gives me a little paper baggie with a couple of little sugar pills in it, I think that's a little bit weird. So I always try to come from the angle of, if I didn't know anything about homeopathy, how would I perceive this thing that's in front of me right now? So my other little pet peeve is that, you know, we say the remedies are sensitive to light, but a lot of homeopaths sell remedies in clear glass bottles. But, you know, supposedly they're sensitive to light. So why are we putting them in clear glass bottles? We also have gazillions of different remedies, but often people will have the colors of the labels the same, and there won't be any dots on the remedies. So, you know, I'm always keeping in the front of my mind a mum with a screaming baby, 3 a.m. on a, you know, Saturday morning, She's looking for her remedy to help her child with his earache or his fever or his teething. She can't find it because all the bottles look the same and they're often paper labels. So, you know, with kids drool or with water spilling, the paper labels often rub off. So I am on this mission at the moment. I don't like people copying me. I hope not too many people do that, but I am on this mission at the moment where I want to raise the standard of the homeopathic products that we put in, out there to consumers. So I only use amber glass bottles, not plastic. I only use waterproof labels and I use dots on the top of all my remedies and I use colors to make it easy to differentiate the remedies. I also have these beautiful pouches, which incredibly, I don't have any right now because I just rushed into the little recording studio. They're out in the house. Beautiful little canvas pouches that make it easy to clip it onto your diaper bag and carry it with you. And I have had a couple of homeopaths already copied me, but like in one way, I'm kind of glad because at least it's raising the profile of the remedies. But in the other way, I'm like, oh, this is my idea. So as for the remedies themselves, you know, just the basics, I've got like a first aid kit and a mother and child kit. I've got, there's a birthing kit. I've also got a doggy kit because you probably found this as well, Lisa, but people are really getting into using remedies for their animals and also for their plants. And so for the doggies to have their own little kit, especially with like the nosos, like parvovirus and kennel cough and all that sort of stuff, for them to, you know, as people wake up with vaccinations for their children, they go, oh, hang on a minute, maybe I should look at this for my animals. So mm-hmm. they start asking about homeopathic immunization for their animals. And we also have doggy vaccine detoxes and, you know, all these
types that's of amazing things as well. Yeah, I love yeah. that because I use homeopathy for my dog. In the UK we're not allowed, only vets are allowed to use remedies homeopathy, and they can't use it as a first line. They have to use allopathic pharmaceuticals.
Why do they care? Homeopathy doesn't work, so why do they care if we use it for our animals, right? It's very bizarre.
I know, but it is amazing for animals. Yeah, my dog, she's on liver support now because she's old, so she's on Crataegus. It's she loves the remedies. She absolutely loves them. It's so sweet.
It's amazing. Yeah. The other thing is that I don't know how you feel about combination remedies, but I was very classically trained, and so I used to be very anti-combination remedies. But then always trying to make it simple for the new home prescribers. So a few years ago, probably about 3 years ago when I started the clinic, I started creating these combination remedies. And because I've got herbal medicine and naturopathic background and training as well, I really like to use herbs and supplements like B12 and vitamin C and zinc and all that, but in like low potency, 6x potency. So I've got like a brain support combination remedy that I made that's got ginkgo, ginseng, rosemary, try to think what else, all in like a 6x potency. And then I like to say to clients, put 2 pills in your water bottle and shake it and just drink it throughout the day. Amazing. So and like a liver support remedy, you know, it's got like cardamom and milk thistle dandelion and a few of those types of things in low homeopathic potency. And then I started playing around a little bit more and making like heavy period mixes and painful period mixes and PMS mixes and hot flush mixes. And, you know, when you first make them and you kind of put it out there, you're like, oh, I hope this works. I've been having such incredible response from our combination remedies that I have become a combination remedy convert. Like I used to snob them so much. And now I'm like, you know, the combination remedies can actually do amazing work. And if you are in a lot of pain and you cannot think of what remedy to use, the combinations are wonderful. And they, you know, have got such a high success rate. So I'm a huge fan of them now. So I do have kids. I've got kits with combination remedies. Like you can buy like I've got a 30 and a 60 combination remedy kit with just a whole bunch of mixes. If you don't know where to start, just get the mix kit and then you've got 60 different mixed remedies and chances are good it's going to help you.
I do know. I love that because I think I trained at CHE, so more classically, but it is practical and you do sort of all different methods as well. But with the combinations, I mean, ABC, for example, like what an amazing, you know, so yes, use one remedy at a time generally, but you know, I always say on my courses there are tried and tested formulas that work together when they've been put together by homeopaths that kind of know what they're doing. They're amazing. And I think during COVID, for example, where symptoms change so much, and when my mum in particular got very ill, you know, we needed different combinations at different times. I think they really have their place. They're amazing. So no, I'm with you on that. I think it depends. I remember getting an ear infection or an ear mix for my daughter in the very early days, and it had about 30 different remedies in. It was a US brand.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Yeah, and I did think, oh, this is almost like throwing everything and hoping something just sticks. So I think there's a line, isn't there? But yeah, I like
there that is much. A line. And you know, I say this too much, but I've just started getting into the Narayani remedies, and some of them, it feels like it's got at least 30 combinations in it, and they actually still do some good work as well. So yes, it's tricky. Like, let's just put it this way, since the podcast and listening to how so many homeopaths practice so differently all around the world, any preconceived ideas or airs or snobbishness I might have had about any remedies has completely disappeared. Like, I just have so much respect for homeopaths around the world. Staying open-minded, as long as you're helping your clients, that's all that matters. As long as they're getting good results, that's all that matters.
Yeah, and Narayani mixes are fantastic, aren't they? And they're made differently anyway as well. They're made on a machine, aren't they, to begin with? They're all energetic.
Well, it depends. So if you get the ones from Namisha, they're not. But some of them are just like meditation. So Swami Narayani, which is episode 60 of my podcast.
Okay, I haven't listened to that one. I'm going to listen to that one.
It's really good. That was actually my most listened to podcast was the Narayani remedy. Yes, Swami Narayani in South Africa would go into this room for like ages, and then she would come out and there would be a remedy. So it was like a meditation. But some of them actually have the physical substances in it, but then they're not made on machines. That's what I always thought.
I was told that incorrectly, so I need to listen to that. And actually, what I was going to say about the meditation and I find it fascinating, this whole water having memory and intention. And you're interviewing Vida Austin, aren't you?
Yeah, she's been on. Yeah,
has that been released yet?
Yes. Yeah.
I've got so much to catch up on, but I find that like almost like the missing link between understanding how remedies work, because obviously remedies often come in pills, but they're made in water initially. What do you have a view on that, particularly as you've interviewed Vida? It's amazing.
I do, only because the person that explained that to me was Christophe Merville, who is one of the head people at Boron in America. He's been working for the company for 30 years. He started out in France, and then early on he was moved over to America, and he's been working there ever since. And he actually asked the guy that started Boron about, you know, this is a liquid, but it's in the pill. How does it, you know, how can you say that that still works? And it's something to do with the crystalline structure in there that is able to absorb the remedy. But if you listen to that podcast episode with Christophe Merville, he explains that.
Amazing. I love it. There's so much we don't know about the world, isn't there, and how it works. It's so just... homeopathy opens that Pandora's box to just realizing.
It really, yeah.
It's crazy. So with your podcast, I shouldn't really ask you this because I know you can't have favorites, but
oh, you should go for it.
Do you have a favorite episode or like a top few that you think?
I think Namisha's Narayani episode was a really good one for me because I was very anti the Narayani remedies and vocal about it. So I ate a huge slice of humble pie because they've got a Narayani, the depression balance. My husband used that. And, you know, he's one that will never just say, oh, yeah, that's great. He's very honest. He's a Scorpio. He's super honest. He does not mince his words. It's black or white. Either it is or it isn't. And he had that remedy. And within, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, he said he just felt his mood lifted. And not just that, I could see the difference in his energy. Wow. And then I was like, oh my gosh. And then I had a profound experience with the Narayani remedies. I had my appendix out in January and it ruptured a whole other story. And after I came out of hospital, I had a bleed, a menstrual bleed. Well, I don't think it was a menstrual bleed. There was blood coming out of there. It wasn't my period, wasn't due, but I think it was from all the vaccine shedding from being in the hospital for a week. And I wasn't vaccinated, but you know, all the doctors and nurses, and you know, I think it's from that. So yeah. I have never had this before, but I had 2 weeks of bleeding and I didn't know what was going on. So we actually had one of our homeopaths meetings where me and the other homeopaths on my team caught up, and I said to the ladies, look, this is going on. I've never had this before. You know, I have no period issues. Normally it's usually over and done with, you know, about 4 days. I don't know what's going on. I think it's from the shedding. And then one of them said, why don't you try the Narayani female balance? And I'm like, okay. And I went to go grab a bottle while we were chatting. I got one of my staff to make one up for me because we've got about 300 Narayani remedies in our clinic as well. And I took a dose, and 15 minutes later, blood stopped. And, you know, that was 2 weeks of bleeding and like 50 minutes. Okay, let's say half an hour. It was definitely not more than half an hour, but it was one. I think I took a second dose and it had stopped. And that
that's
was
amazing.
After 2 weeks. And I'm like, how do these remedies work? I just don't get it. And actually, before we started chatting, I was saying to you about my throat being quite sore. I just took the Narayani throat chakra remedy. And I'm like, you know, I'm open-minded. I'm like all that, but I'm just like, oh, how does this work? I don't understand. So that episode would have been one of my favorites just because it challenged me the most. And it has opened my mind so much where now I'm just like, yeah, bring it on. I'll take on board whatever people say.
And what episode did you, what number was that? Did you say 60?
60. And the only reason I remember it also because it was one of our top episodes and so many people commented on it and we had incredible feedback from it. And it's created like a little bit of a revolution here in Perth because we've got a group of about 1,200 mums that I've all introduced to homeopathy. Like I said, maybe about 5% of them knew what homeopathy was before they did my course and joined my group. So of these group of mums, so many of them are using the Narayani remedy. So I'm getting to know them better and better and better from feedback from clients. And so that's why I know the episode number because I have to repeat it so often because it's so incredible.
I'll definitely put a link to that. What would be, because there are so many Narayani mixes, what would be your top Narayani mixes?
The depression balance, I would say, because, you know, just my husband's profound experience. And then the female balance I found absolutely amazing. Mm. Another one was the removal of entities remedy. Now, believe me, I say this as the biggest skeptic on the planet of these remedies. So many people after they had COVID said that they had depression when they've never had depression ever.
I've never felt, I felt like I'd been hijacked like by some ghastly depression. I didn't know what was wrong with me like afterwards. So yeah, sorry, I'm really excited.
This friend of mine that, you know, she is the healthiest person you've ever seen, the happiest, bubbliest, brightest person. She messaged me, she's like, Eugenia, I've never experienced depression, but it feels like something has gotten hold of me after I've had COVID. I don't know what's going on. And so I gave her the Narayani removal of entities and it just worked straight away. And then since then I have prescribed it, I don't know how many dozens of times, to people who say they felt really down since COVID. The Narayani removal of entities made such a huge difference. I had something horrible happen earlier in this year and I felt very attacked and I felt like somebody was going to come out and get me. And then one of my staff said to me, why don't you try the Narayani divine protection remedy? And I took it and I, Lisa, honestly, I know what this sounds like when I'm telling you this. I wouldn't believe anyone if they told me this, but the difference it made in me, that suddenly my energy was just to the point where I'm fine. Nobody's going to come out and get me, just feeling so strong. And because my energy was so much stronger, and I was feeling that way, it, you know, none of that, the bad stuff manifested. So make from it whatever you like. This stuff is pretty cool.
I love that because I've used like drawing mix and war mix and
war is amazing. Yes. I have to say war is one of my favorite remedies that for the Narayanis.
But like to hear the removal of entities. I mean, God, I could have done with that. Like the way you've said it was so bizarre. Like it was so unlike me. I'm normally so happy and cheerful. And I was like, what on earth? I didn't want to be around myself. You know, it was awful. And I know actually people now that could still help with, but people still haven't been well since. So I'm going to get them to take that. And the divine protection. I love this. You learn constantly. Like, it's never ending, isn't it? Homeopathy, like,
never ending. And another one for those of you that meditate, taking the Narayani meditation remedy before you meditate, it might be a good option as well. But just getting like a shout out to Namisha, but NarayaniRemedies.com, you can purchase the Narayani book through her. I get zero commission from any of this in case anyone's wondering. I'm just very impressed with what the remedies are doing and just the difference that I see in my clients. It's really nice.
And the book's great as well, actually, even for beginners in some ways, because it kind of, you get a feel for the remedies in like one or two lines, the way she describes them. And obviously they're grouped together. So you can see, oh, that group of remedies are good for depression, but you can then look it up and see why the slight differences in each one. So it's actually good for beginners in some ways, I think, because you can get to learn a lot.
It is really good. And, you know, you'll, if you go into the professional homeopaths groups, there will be these talks about, you know, home prescribers shouldn't use it. They'll call suppression, blah, 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 all these sorts of things. That's just so rare for that to happen. I mean, it does happen. I just, you know, I feel like I'm pretty in touch with things because I've got this group of 1,200 odd mums and we're in constant communication and they do a lot of self-prescribing themselves. And if they have any issues, you know, they come and tell me or they ask me how to prescribe things. Maybe that's why they're not having issues because they have me to fall back on. So maybe that's not a fair comment, but just overall, I don't know about the suppression thing. I know there's so many homeopaths that say that remedies can suppress. They probably can. I just think it happens in so few instances that we shouldn't over, like we should give people the power to do home prescribing. And if we take that away from them, I don't know how helpful that is. I don't know if I'm making that clear. So we should let them home prescribe. There are going to be suppressions and there are going to be aggravations and all that. I don't feel that in the big scheme of things, the amount that that happens warrants us not empowering people with using these remedies. I know I'll probably get slammed for saying that, but that's just been my experience.
No, I agree. And I think actually, like, what's the alternative? They don't use homeopathy and they go and use antibiotics instead. That's going to have far more repercussions actually than using a remedy that might suppress.
Yeah. And there's also always going to be exceptions to the rule, but I think, yeah. And I think I've always also found initially when people first start getting onto homeopathy, they're just so excited that there's a safe alternative. So they feel like they need to give a remedy for everything.
That's
the tiniest little thing. Yeah. But I do find that eventually, like I'm just looking at these mums that have been on this journey with me for a while, how many of them were like that initially? But now a few years down the track, they don't give a remedy for a fever anymore. They just let their child ride it out. Mm-hmm. But just and like initially, I find a lot of people need that little crux, that little thing just to make them feel like they're doing something until they get better in tune with their bodies and in touch with their intuition. And then they do use the remedies less. So I do feel like it's a self-balancing thing at the end of the day as well.
I love that. And I love the, yeah, that evolution. I was there at the start using, and now I rarely use anything. And I get asked on my Facebook group or people on my courses going, oh, you know, my kid's got a cough and what shall I give? I'm like, well, the cough's eliminating. You know, why? Yes, if it lingers, obviously you don't want that, but always question yourself, what is the symptom? Is it helpful? Why do I want to treat it? But I think we're so used to knee jerk. Ah, there's something, the symptom, quick, bash it away. So it's great to hear that, see that evolution in your practice. So what other, I love this. We're talking about divine protection and real entity remedies. And you have to be open-minded, right? I did a post the other day about paper remedies and I just thought, what the old Lisa thing of this?
Exactly. But, and it's such an evolution, hey? And I think as homeopaths, if you don't open your mind up to these things, you miss out on a lot of fun. Like, it's really interesting. It's really interesting challenging ourselves. I mean, paper remedies, I still think, oh my gosh, but my mum was in hospital in Kazakhstan once with, you know, with serious heart condition and she didn't have any remedies with her. And I said to her, mum, just grab a glass of water, grab your paper, write the remedy name, put the glass on it. And she swore that that helped.
Well, after seeing Vida Austin's work with writing down, I mean, she's done on her Instagram page where she's just written down a word, put the water, frozen it, and it's taken that on. I'm like, oh yeah, I can see actually how paper remedies, you know, have that mechanism to work. It's amazing. So, okay, so that Narayani episode 60, other top episodes as well that you would recommend or love or have a little soft spot for?
Actually, Jerry Cantor is popping in. Actually, this, all of them are amazing, but Jerry Cantor's was really cool because he wrote this book called Sane Asylums. And it is about the use of homeopathy in psychiatric hospitals in America in the late 1800s. Oh, and his book came out. Oh, his book is out now. It came out about November because I remember we thought that the book was going to come out earlier. So we released the episode about September, but the book didn't actually then end up coming up till about November. So it is out now. And just the incredible history of how homeopathy was used in these psychiatric hospitals. And they had incredible results. And it's just like that gives me so much hope that we can get to that space again. And I really feel that that's going to happen. I mean, I always say I'm the eternal optimist, but I really feel we can get to that place, especially after COVID, with so many people more, you know, questioning homeopathy.
I like that. The world needs it, doesn't it? That's for sure.
And another favorite would have to be episode 100 with Miranda Castro, because, you know, having a podcast is actually like slightly self-serving, because you get to chat with really cool people that you really admire. So Miranda has always been a hero of mine, because I love what she has done to empower home users to use homeopathy, because that is the only way we're going to keep homeopathy alive. If we keep it strange and weird, and we only give people remedies if they come and see us for consultations, and we don't give them home kits, homeopathy is going to die. But if we have this grassroots movement of mothers who use homeopathy, then that's the only way we're going to keep it alive. So I really love and respect Miranda for the work that she did in that regard. And it was such a huge honor. I was fangirling, like geeking out to have her on the episode. And yeah, it's been wonderful. It's been lovely to be in touch with her since I sent her a t-shirt the other day. I'm going to send you one as well.
Oh,
and she sent me a put a photo on her social media pages of, you know, wearing my homeopathy hangout t-shirt. And I was like, oh, it's like the hugest honor. There's been lots, you know, Jan Shelton, Rajan Sankaran. I mean, Jeremy Scher. Oh, that was such a fun interview. Like, how would I ever been able to like call up, hey, Jeremy, you know, can we like chat for an hour? Hey, Jan Shelton, you know, hey, Rajan, let's chat. So I'm not going to lie. The podcast has been an incredible opportunity to get to chat with these unbelievable homeopaths that have just trailblazed and done so much work to make our lives easier. And of course, Hilary Dorian, oh my gosh, who I'm so jealous. She's, you know, you said she's like around the corner from you. Hey, and you're besties with her daughter, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Oh, they're just lovely, lovely, lovely family, lovely people. Yeah.
And Ian Watson that you've had on as well. Oh my gosh. What a privilege.
It was after I actually listened to your episode with Ian Watson, and I just thought, oh, I've got to get Ian on. I've been to some of his lectures in person. But there are so many amazing homeopaths out there. It is, yeah, it's phenomenal, really, what everyone's doing. And it's interesting as well, because Ian echoes what you've just said and what Miranda said about actually, you know, homeopathy kits. People need to use it in the home. And that's, we really have to get it out and into the home. And it was Ian that said that Dr. Robin Murphy said it's the highest form of prescribing first aid.
Yes.
Because if you use it, sorry, if you use it in the moment, you can stop those future issues. Oh, sorry, I have to edit that bit.
That's what the editing's for. I'll have a little cough and a drink as well. Maybe you should keep the spot in.
I didn't watch it. It was like a bit of sawdust or something just went down my throat. Oh, maybe I won't edit it. Keeping it real, guys.
It real. I'm so for keeping it real. In fact, I'm keeping it so real. I was actually wondering if I should share a short story with you, but I will, because I do want to keep it real. Tell you a funny little story. So when I got to interview Jan Shelton, obviously he's such a like god in the homeopathy world. I was just so nervous, and I went to the toilet like 10 times having nervous pees before the interview. And then I was thinking to myself, don't tell him you did nervous wheeze. Don't tell him you did nervous wheeze. What's the first thing I say to Jan Shelton? I was so nervous. I did nervous wheeze beforehand. So I just have to keep it real that I get so nervous with some of these interviews. And it's just such an honor.
I love
to
that.
To people. And keeping it real that I make so many mistakes as well. And I listen back on episodes and I've said so many wrong words. I'm like, what was I on? Like, how did I get those words so mixed up and keep calling people wrong names? And thank goodness for editing. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I love it. It's so good to keep it real. And you know what? Yeah, I remember doing some podcast episodes where I was so nervous before. I thought I was actually going to vomit. And I thought, what? Why do I do this to myself? Like, is that kind of adrenaline junkie getting excited and then being like, actually, this is just...
Scary. Yeah, it definitely gets easier the more you do it, for sure. But holy moly, there was a few there where I was just so nervous.
It doesn't come across at all. It's just, they're amazing. Oh. And just what you're doing for the homeopathic community, it's phenomenal. I think everyone's so grateful for what you do.
Oh, I mean, support's been amazing. The biggest buzz that I get out of all of this, more so than interviewing any of these incredible homeopaths, is when people email me and they say the podcast inspired them to study homeopathy. I'm like, That is literally why I am doing this. You need so many more homeopaths because there is such a chronic health crisis, and there is not enough of us to help the people out there. So we need more people studying homeopathy. It's the best career out there. And if, as long as you're a lifelong learner, as long as you love reading, and as long as you like buying lots of books.
Yes.
I think it's like a homeopathic curse. Hey, I was thinking the other day, I need to make a reel of like all the books I've bought this year. It's ridiculous. Anyway, but the podcast doesn't help either because you're interviewing these people. Like I had Peter Tamanello on, he wrote the Jewels book. And after the interview, I'm like, oh my God, here's my credit card. Just send me all your books.
I went to try and buy that after, because I think I saw a post, you posted about it. And it's insanely expensive here in the UK. I think it was like £150. So I need to kind of keep
it's
my
insanely
eye on.
Expensive here as well.
Oh, God.
It's so worth it. I mean, it depends if you want to go down that road of prescribing the crystal remedies, then definitely don't listen to his interview, which is coming out in a couple of days, because you will definitely want to buy the books after that. Because when you hear him speak and what the remedies can do and his passion for the remedies, like at one stage I was wondering whether he was going to be, it sounded like he was going to tear up because he's so passionate about like the love he has for these crystals and the respectful way that he speaks about them. I'm like, wow, you really have put so much love and thought into creating these. So yeah, it's very cool.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Do you know, I could chat to you all day. I'm really conscious that we're pretty much out of time, and it's been so lovely to chat to you. What is there anything else that we haven't spoken about that you want the listeners to hear? And obviously I want them to, if you can let people know how to get in touch with you, but yeah, anything that we haven't covered that you would like people to know about?
Only thing I would say is if you have any inkling of desire to study homeopathy, just go and do it. And you don't have to sign up for the full degree program straight off. Just sign up for the first, you know, paper or the first year or whatever, and see if you want to build on that, but just do it. And eugeniekruger.com, you can find me. I'm on Instagram and I'm on Facebook and put a lot of content out there. So please do go and watch it, because sometimes I'm like, who am I doing this for? But please go and watch. And I've got a YouTube channel, although they've recently banned me because I spoke about how homeopathy can help COVID vaccine reactions. So I'm banned off Facebook, but my videos are still there. You can watch it. I'm now on Rumble. And you can also listen to my podcast, Homeopathy Hangouts. And you can even buy this cool t-shirt that says, yes, I have a remedy for that on my website.
I love that. I do not. I absolutely love that t-shirt, because that's constantly what goes and rambling in my head almost every day. There's a remedy for that.
My daughter has a t-shirt that says my mummy has a remedy for that. So we used to print kiddies t-shirts as well. It says my mummy has a remedy for that, and the adults one says, yes, I have a remedy for that.
Oh, I love that. Well, you are doing such an amazing job. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Well, taking the time. I know how busy you are, and I just really appreciate it. It's been
never too busy for you, because I so appreciate you taking the time to come onto my podcast when I was just starting out. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much. There you have it, the last podcast for 2022. Let me know what you think. Please subscribe and like and give me a review if you do like the podcast. It really helps just get it out there further. And if you're interested in learning more about homeopathy, I have my latest course kicking off on the 11th of January. So click on the links below. But yes, thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to doing lots more episodes in 2023.